You're listening to The Rush on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
And it is that time. It's Friday. It's 4 o'clock. It's time to get judgy.
Order in the entertainment court. Let's get judgy.
I'm sorry, Judge Krause.
Court is now in session.
I took your line. Judge Krause is in studio with Rush Renayer and Scott Reed.
I am. Case number one.
Let's hear. And there's only one thing on my mind, okay. Judge Krause, yes. This week. Mm-hmm. It's Avatar Way of the Water.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you
The
Way of Water. I will tell you about it shortly, but I have a question about it. So 13 years after the original Avatar became one of the biggest grossing movies of all time, director James Cameron is back with Avatar The Way of Water. Going to make $1 million. It's got an A-list cast. Zoe Saldana, Sigourney Weaver, Kate Winslet, all those people are in there. But they're all appearing in motion capture performances to create and animate digital characters against a completely computer-generated background. The biggest star of this movie is the incredible 3D technology that makes it look like the images are popping off the screen, and it is truly a technical achievement. That's my review for you, Scott.
All right.
But what I have to wonder about is when award time comes around, why is this one being nominated as Best Picture when other animated movies are relegated to the, I don't want to say lesser, but lesser known category of Best Animated Picture? So my question for both of you as jurors is, Avatar The Way of Water a drama with lots of animation, or an animated movie with dramatic elements like Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, which was only nominated at the Golden Globes in the animation category? It's a mind bender, this one.
I'm sorry, Pinocchio, but let's make Avatar the first animation film nominated for Best Picture. That's my thought. I think it is an animated film that should and can be nominated for Best Picture. Scott?
I am in a different boat. I think this is something. The stop motion thing is becoming more popularized. I think Andy Serkis, obviously, all that sort of stuff. Like, it's an art in and of itself. I'm going to think of it more as traditional cinema. So I'm going to stick to the guns of this being a traditional movie,
live action
as compared to animated.
All right, here's my verdict. The last animated movie to be nominated for a Best Picture Oscar was Beauty and the Beast, and that was 30 years ago.
Whoa!
Since then, the Academy has tucked all the animated movies away in their own category. But I have to wonder, what makes a film animated? It used to be that if it was stop-motion animated or hand-drawn or rotoscoped, it was considered animated. Then computer-generated imagery came along and made all those lines really fuzzy. Now, Avatar, which uses new state-of-the-art technology to capture the performances of the actors and translate the captured data into 3D CG characters, it is a new thing. The Marvel movies often use similar technology, and the actor, Andy Serkis, who you mentioned, Scott, has made his career wearing layers of computer-generated costumes. It's not animation. It's not live action. It's something else, and Avatar The Way of Water should have its own category, and that is my verdict.
My, oh my. All right, what's our second case on the docket here, Judge?
This one's kind of a big one. So studios have been putting out a lot of movies of late that have wowed the critics, says Brooks Barnes in the New York Times analysis piece that he wrote recently. The problem is that Barnes sums up the box office results for these movies, like think about Oscar-oriented films or films with grown-ups, as he puts it, with a word that the studios will definitely not like to hear, and that is carnage. There's a lot of movies like Tar, The Fabelmans, Armageddon Time, She Said, and Devotion that have come nowhere near recouping the money that it costs to make them. So my question is, did the pandemic kill off movies for adults, or are adults to blame for the lack of success of recent movies aimed at mature audiences because they're just not going?
I think the pandemic was the last sip of poison from a cup. I think there were lots of other sips. I think there was the move away from home video as a source of revenue, which made it tougher for those smaller movies. I think it's got a lot to do with technology, and now, like, you know, what we're watching in our home is so much more elevated. So I think all the combination of that, you throw on top of the pandemic, I think, you know, the only reason you're going to a movie now is for Avatar or an MCU flick, and my mom ain't doing that.
Yeah, I think the pandemic killed off movies for adults, for sure. But also, I think the movies that are being made aren't attractive enough to get adults into the theater.
It appears that oldsters are not interested in the movies in the same way they once were, like maybe even just 3 years ago before COVID. They'd rather stay at home, watch movies on streaming, and do that kind of thing away from chattering crowds and expensive popcorn. And while I will never accept that watching movies at home is the same or better than watching them in theaters, it isn't and it ain't, but I understand and why people do it in a marketplace where the streamers have closed the window between a movie's theatrical run and the debut on your television. When you had to wait 90 days or more before a movie made the leap to theaters or DVD or television, it created excitement. See it now and see it first in theaters. Now, by narrowing that window to weeks or days, they've taken some of the magic away. So now, it's okay to wait because you won't have to wait long. So Hollywood, don't blame the audience. Blame yourself for doing everything you can to scrape some of the tinsel off the movie-going experience. And that is my verdict.
You are a wise judge. You are a wise judge because you know what? If Knives Out had been in the theater for 6 weeks, you know, I would have gone to see it. But the fact that I'm like, man, you know what? I'm going to be able to see it, what, at the end of this month, I think, now?
December 23rd.
So I'm like, you know what? What the heck? I'll wait for it. But I would have gone to the theater for that movie.
What's our next case, James?
Next case. This is a quick one. Adam Sandler is being given the Mark Twain Prize for Humor. It's been given in the past to Richard Pryor, Carl Reiner, Whoopi Goldberg, Billy Crystal, George Carlin, people like that. It comes from the Kennedy Center, and it recognizes individuals who have had an impact on American society in ways similar to the distinguished 19th century novelist and essayist Samuel Clemens, better known as Mark Twain. So the question is, does Adam Sandler deserve the Mark Twain Prize for Humor?
Yes. Yes. Adam Sandler is hilarious. No one could do what Adam Sandler's been doing for this long. You may not like what Adam Sandler's been doing, but he has been doing it for a long time. That is commitment. Yes, award him.
I think the notion is, well, it's not highbrow enough in comedy, right? This isn't, you know, class. But those are all mutable definitions. And, you know, Adam Sandler is A, incredibly creative, B, a force to be reckoned with from a business standpoint, right? Look at all, and he's wicked funny. And if he's silly and a little bit gross sometimes, that's all fine too.
His dialogue is highbrow humor, though. It's slapstick, but the things he says are thought-provoking. Come on, Adam Sandler is hilarious.
It is like we're all thinking with one brain today. Recently, Adam Sandler was given a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Gotham Awards. And if you have not yet listened to that acceptance speech, do so now and try and tell me that you don't want to hear him accept the Mark Twain Award. His speeches are hilarious. And while Adam Sandler's work may not have the same intellectual depth as Mark Twain, it certainly does contain more swearing and poop jokes. But what they share is an undeniable thirst to entertain and to make people laugh. Twain did it with cleverly worded stories, books, and essays, the other with a career filled with angry yelling and goofy gibberish, whatever the medium. Both make us laugh, and that is the whole point. And that is my verdict.
All right.
Punch Drunk Love? I laughed in Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah, Punch Drunk Love is really funny.
He was so funny. Yeah, and they were like, oh, he's so dramatic, but he was still funny. Yeah. And that's when I fell in love with Adam Sandler.
My wife is the biggest Adam Sandler fan in the world. And at first it was an issue, and now I've learned to embrace the Adam Sandler.
You got to sit through the slapstick.
I love it. I love it now.
I love all those. I love everything he does. Uncut Gems, not a funny movie, but like, the guy's an accomplished artist.
He's got a movie on Netflix right now called Hustle, which is really good. It came out last year, but it's worth a look. Dial it up and have a look, because it's kind of funny, but it's mostly dramatic, but it's really good. Good heartwarming
I've heard
stuff.
About it, you know, but it's another example we were talking about 5 minutes ago, right? It's another example of, my God, they pump out so much, you know, on the streaming services. So it doesn't even get any, it doesn't get any window, it doesn't get any fanfare, it doesn't get any promotion and push. So I didn't even know that it was around until I heard about it on a podcast.
Well, last night when I was hosting News Talk Tonight, we were talking about podcasts. And I said, podcasts are like armpits. Everyone's got at least two of them, and most of them stink. And, and it's the same thing with the streaming services, that there's too much stuff on the streaming services, so stuff, really good movies like Hustle, Adam Sandler's movies, just get lost. Similarly, too many podcasts out there. Everyone's got one, most people have two, and a lot of them stink.
Plug your two podcasts now, Scott Reed.
Yeah, exactly. Simmer down. As a matter of fact, I do have two, but anyway.
Thank you, Judge Crows.
Thanks for having me.
See you, man.
Richard Krause in studio. I love our Entertainment Court segment. You're both excited about Avatar. I am not.
I'm excited for the spectacle of it. It's a big tentpole giant monster movie.
I will tell you that it does not look like any other movie that you've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's shot on a really high frame rate. If that means nothing to you, think just really super high definition.
So,
and then add really, really cutting edge 3D to it. And the story, not so much. But the visuals will make your eyeballs dance.
Excellent. I want to be rat-a-tat-tatted for 4.5 hours, however long it is.
3 hours and 15 minutes solid.
Coming up on The Rush, you're going to hear from the newest champion of a game show. You can guess which one. He's from Toronto, and he's joining us on The Rush.